Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. That was Colors of the Wind with Vanessa Williams. Welcome to another Inner Healers radio show. Today, we have a very special guest. As you know, Inner Healers is an integrative health-oriented concept that considers that all the answers that we look for reside inside. It is by reaching inside that we can live healthy, happy lives. Those who resonate with this concept are writing back and contacting each other with whom we're starting a loving and caring worldwide community of like-minded souls. A company under the same name was created in Peru to help sustain both the concept and the community. We believe in broadening minds and lessening frontiers, for it's not about where we are based, but about remembering we are all inner healers. My name is Luciana Stiglich, and I will be your host for today. Our special guest for today is Toni Petrinovic. She's a Reiki Master Teacher, Reconnective Healing Certified Practitioner, Quantum Physics Researcher, and member of the Metaphysical Doctors Association, the Hard Math Institute, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, Companion of the Chalice Well, Licensed Investigator with the Institute of Technical Energy Medicine, Teaching Partner with the AwakeNet and Senior Soul Recognition, Facilitator and Instructor with Soul Support Systems, who over 40 years instruct spiritual seekers how to find, understand, and express from their core, through their heart, the voice of their soul. Clairvoyant, clairaudient, and kinesthetically aware of the invisible world, she assists others to access these dimensions also. She offers transcendent initiations through the power of the presence of your essence and angel fire transmission, as well as readings from whole light being light orbs. Today is a very special day because Toni will be helping us understand about forgiveness. She will be helping us understand what is her thinking about abundance and how we can live an abundant life. Hello, Toni.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, dear. It's so nice to listen to you. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. We're having real winter here. We don't usually get a lot of storms up here in the San Juan Islands. We're located up on, off the coast of Washington State, up close to Canada, but we're kind of in a banana belt. The weather stays pretty nice, and it isn't right now. The wind is howling, and it's going to start snowing, and everybody is all cuddling up.
Really? So that's nice, cozy.
It's cozy, yeah. You have to get real cozy because, boy, it's really cold out there. It's supposed to get down to like 14 degrees.
Jesus.
So that's pretty cold.
Yes, it is. But, you know, hugging each other, that must be cozy.
We could say that we're having an abundance of wind and cold. There's the abundance for us in the moment.
So to start with our interview, what would you say is abundance for you?
Well, most people think that abundance is an extremely plentiful or over-sufficient quantity or supply of something. And some people think it's power, some people think it's riches, basically plenty. But basically what abundance really means, and that's what it really feels like, is freedom. It's the ability to do what you need to do, when you need to do, want to do it, because you have more than enough of everything you believe you need, want, and desire. So we're going to talk tonight. I'm going to stress the idea that abundance means freedom. Because when people say, I want to be more abundant in my life, and they mean I want to be able to financially support myself well, usually they don't mean because I want to accumulate a lot of goodies and, you know, a lot of houses and a lot of cars. Some people do, but most people don't. What they really mean is, I don't want to have to work so hard. I want to be free to enjoy life. And if I have abundance, then I will be free to do that. So we're going to talk about abundance as freedom and freedom as abundance.
Great. So why would you say we people want to live in abundance?
Well, it's inherently in our being. If you think about the age-old caveman who didn't, you know, really strive for abundance, rather what he did was go out and get whatever was needed in the moment, and they all died pretty young, then humanity learned during that time, you know, he'd go out and get food, bring it home, they'd eat it. The next day he'd go out and get food, bring it home, they'd eat it. We began to learn as human beings that storing up abundance for times when food was scarce prevented the tribe from starving. So first of all, abundance is basically a survival mechanism that has been driven to the edge of extremes by consumerism and the idea that there's not enough and I want more and instant gratification. But from the standpoint of abundance means freedom, once the caveman realized that if he and his hunting buddies went out and they got more food than they needed and they found a way to preserve it, Then he had time to make more babies and populate the tribe so they'd have more people and maybe even have some leisure time. As we've seen, there's been cave paintings and various different decorations in caves from ancient times that tell us that there had to have been leisure time, or else they never would have taken the time to make cave paintings. They would have been too busy trying to survive. So equating abundance with freedom means you don't have to work. You're your own boss. You have idle time to enjoy whatever pleasures you want in life. And that's really why people want abundance. Once you've gotten the basic survival taken care of, you've got a roof over your head, you've got food on the table, and you have a way to get to and from work, so to speak, then everything else is gravy. But if you take that money you're making and you don't spend it on a lot of extraneous things and you tuck it aside, then you have freedom to do what really feels like abundance, which is to go inside yourself and to become acquainted with your higher self and your heart. And then you know that that's where the real abundance lies.
Mm-hmm. So where would you say greed plays a role in all of this?
I didn't understand what you said, Luciana. What did you say?
Yes, I'm sorry. Where would you say greed plays a role on all of this?
Greed, greed? Well, it's the idea that there isn't, it's like a two-edged sword here, because there's the idea that if you don't get more than you need and you get ahead of the other guy is going to come and take it away from you. And there's also the idea that there's not enough, therefore you have to store up as much money as you possibly can because there'll never be enough. And what happens inside in the ego personality, because of the ego personality's feeling like it's separate, is that it pits mankind against mankind. You can think about right now the United States' great drive to, you know, overtake all these countries so that we can get more oil, because there'll never be enough oil because all these people are using up all of this oil. And this idea that there's never enough, it literally, just like a pendulum swing, if there's one side of the pendulum that swings to there's never enough, the other side, as far as it swings, is going to go to greed. So you're constantly accumulating more because you believe that there's never enough. If you think about people who are very rich and still continue to do whatever money, underneath it, if you, you know, take away all the glamorous covering and fancy house and fancy clothes, you're afraid they are, that there's not enough. Basically the foundation for greed.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're really missing
is abundance.
No.
Yes, sorry. So if abundance is something so good for us, why isn't everybody living in abundance?
Well, basically we get hardwired and we get programmed when we're children. Because children, when they are born and they start, you know, crawling around and toddling around, are basically learning to survive in the world. And the parents attempt to, and this basically goes for all parents, I mean, I've been a parent, I'm a great-grandmother, so I know about this. You give everything you possibly can to your children so that whatever places you unknowingly neglect them in their mind, then they begin to forget their connections with what is deeper as they get older and older and older. And they begin to focus upon the conditions around them, and they lose touch with their essence because now they're starting to have to fend for themselves. Practical, logical, linear, predictable, and pretty soon they begin focusing only on mundane concerns of life. It's really scarcity thinking consciousness, and it starts when we're children. So it feels like to the child that there's a limit to how much satisfaction it can get. There's only so much within its view of the way life works. So there's only so much food, and when the food isn't there and mother doesn't bring more, then it can't get any more yet because it's not old enough. And then as we get older, it goes into economics. And what happens then is we begin to forget the creativity we have. You know how parents always tell their children, you know, if the child says, oh, I saw this wonderful magical being, and the mother will say, oh, that's just your imagination. That's not real. The child begins to feel the limits of how much it can expect to express and still be approved of. And as you grow up, this carries with you, carry it with you, and then you begin to realize that you really don't feel free. And you begin to believe that it's really true that you, as God in form, cannot express abundantly, that scarcity is real, and that you need to focus on what is necessary for your basic survival. And then at the same time, because you're just concentrating on your basic survival, you begin to forget all of the aspirations you had. And it becomes like this struggle to just stay alive. And if you go back to Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of human psychological needs, survival is the lowest. It's the most basic of all human needs. And after that comes safety and relationships and things of that nature. So basically what happens is that you end up attempting to make sure that you do not have the pain of scarcity. And you do not take the time to use your aspirations and your desire to create and your desire to know yourself as God in form. You forget that that's what you really want to do because you're so busy avoiding the pain and discomfort of all the restrictions around your life. So then freedom becomes defined in terms of not having to experience the things that you find unpleasant versus freedom being, I have everything I could possibly want, and I'm free to create however I want to create. So you're actually fighting against abundance and attempting to avoid anything that's unpleasant rather than taking action based upon what your heart knows is best for you. So it's kind of like, as children, we get programmed into this because of the way our cultures are structured.
Mm-hmm. So according to our culture, do you think that abundance is measurable? How can we measure it?
Well, basically, it's the way you feel. You can tell if, and I know that the idea of abundance is sort of like this mental concept and the law of attraction that has gotten so much press and so much promotion and The Secret and all those kind of things, always talking about how to attract abundance, but it's really not a feeling. And that's really the best measurement of abundance. If you can feel your body and you feel constrictions in your body, wherever you feel constrictions, then you know you're not feeling abundance. You're not living according to your essence. So what you want to look at where extraneous influences putting social pressure on you, like the expectations of your family, the expectations of your friends, the laws of your religion, the laws of your state, your peer group, your environmental factors, whatever it is that indicates that something else is dictating to you how you're supposed to be. And when you're truly free and you're feeling that feeling of abundance of life, because life-fulfilling feelings inside of you feel abundant because you're acting according to what your heart indicates is true for you rather than what somebody else tells you. I mean, and you still, you know, pay attention to basic social laws. You're not going to drive on the wrong side of the street to try to kill somebody. I'm not meaning that. But you're not feeling constrained by your environment. I mean, how many people will say, I really hate to go to work. I can't stand working where I'm working. I've never wanted to do this. I can't stand my boss. So there's this constriction, there's this limitation that creates a deep sense of dependency upon the environment to fulfill everything for you instead of believing and knowing that you have the resources to overcome the challenges and find ways to express yourself according to your own heart's aspirations. And this whole feeling of scarcity is basically keeping you on the bottom rung of Maslow's pyramid so that you're always in a sense of survival consciousness. So you define yourself according to your terms of your most limited abilities rather than what you really want to express in the world. And I just, you know, I can't stress that enough. It's so important. And I do soul readings. Like every day I do one or two soul readings for people. And I'm so aware when I get to this soul level and I look at people's souls of the potential in us as human beings. and how much we denigrate and limit ourselves because we're afraid to take that step. It feels like we're going to step off a cliff and we're going to fall forever and end up and we're going to crash and burn, not realizing that we're going to take the step off the cliff and we're going to find out we can fly.
That's very interesting. So would you say that there's a practical route to abundance?
Well, it's really about perspective. And first of all, the person, you the listener, you know, whoever we want to talk to here, the person has to want to change perspectives. You know, I'm great for saying, and I know you know this is true too, you can't make somebody change. You can't say, okay, now you have to become abundant and you have to look this way. The drive to release the restriction has to be strong enough that you change your perspective. The abundance perspective says there is no lack. There's no lack in individuals. There's no lack in the environment. Whatever I need the most of to live and be happy and free is available to me. Once you take that on and you begin acting from that condition, then you begin to develop the greater dimensions of your own being. It's like your own catalyst. And the wisdom that is your higher self that knows that there is nothing but abundance begins to flow, and you begin to think that way and see life that way. You have to shift your priorities so that you're placing your highest value upon your own internal reality, the voice of your heart, rather than placing it out there, well, my mother wanted me to be this, and I'm that, and I'm doing this job, and I'm, you know, it's always pointing at somebody else, rather than looking inside, because the abundance lives inside of you. Then you move yourself out of survival mode. Then it isn't surviving anymore, it's thriving, and you really know freedom. And you get a chance to do the things you deeply love. You get a chance to really create a life for yourself that is more than just some meager existence. And you realize and honor the truth of all that you are. When you do that, everyone around you, because we're all mirrors for each other, begin to see their reflection in you, and they also begin to feel more abundant. And that's one of the greatest blessings of it. Because it can be, you know, pretty demanding to change your perspective and say, okay, I'm not going to think this way anymore. But what it is releasing the attachment to your beliefs and how those beliefs create feelings about limitations in life. So what you want to do is to look at and acknowledge the attachments you have to your beliefs so that you can learn from them. And then realize that those beliefs were given to you by your people, your parents, your peer group, your social structure, your religion, your governments, and that they're not really you. You are aware, you're whole, you're free. And the only way you're really going to be able to do this is if you take time to sit down every day and be still and listen inside so you can really hear what's true for you versus reciting some list of beliefs that somebody told you is real. I mean, I talk to so many people every day, and depending upon the conversation and whether it feels appropriate, I like to challenge a lot of beliefs because people will talk about things as though they're all givens. Like I talked to a lady last night who was just talking nonstop, and she was going on about all of these beliefs she has, not realizing that everything that she was saying to me, I could hear it, and I could hear it in her. Not one of those things that she believed was true. All she was doing was just reciting all these things that she believed and how they weren't working in her life, and she was just going on and on and on about this, and yet I knew that she didn't believe any of them because if she did, she wouldn't be on the phone with me. They would be fulfilling this hole that she feels that she has inside of her. So I always invite people to look at the beliefs you have, all of them, especially the ones that are your deeply held spiritual centers that you think, oh, well, yeah, okay, Tony, I agree with you, but not this one over here, because this one over here is the thing that keeps me going. Look at that one. Where did you get it from? Who told you that that was real? Do you know it's real? Maybe you do. If you do, great. But 9 times out of 10, you don't. and it restricts you, because everything else that you see is seen through the filter of this belief, and there's a limitation to how much you can experience when all of your experiences are filtered through beliefs that you're holding on to. And this keeps you from realizing how abundant you are and how free you are, and that it's all inside of you.
Yeah, and for the listeners, how would you say that they can recognize which are the things in which they really believe and which are the things that they just follow because somebody has told them that that was the way it should work?
Well, it's kind of a fun exercise, and there's a class that I teach, actually, where we do this, where you sit down and you just write down. I say, okay, write down what you believe about yourself, write down what you believe about your family, your community, your work, your future, your love life, you know, just everything. Just, you know, make a laundry list. Write down what you believe about them. Write down benefiting you, and write down where it came from. So just, you know, taking a for instance, let's say somebody writes down, I believe in angels. Okay, why? Well, because I was raised as a Catholic and there's angels in the church. And then you just start following it back and you realize that all of it is basically somebody's word that you're taking for granted that it's true. Have you ever seen an angel? Has an angel interacted with you? Have you talked to them? Are they real in your life? Some people might say yes. Great. But most people would say, well, no, I've seen pictures of them and, you know, that's what my priest told me, or, you know, whatever. And just using this as an example, you can take anything. There's this great example that I heard about on the internet not too long ago, and I just laughed so hard. It was perfect. There was a story about, and I might have told you this, but probably not all the listeners. I can't remember if I did or not. There was a story about this man, and he was talking to his wife because they were going to have this dinner party. All of their family was coming for dinner, and he said he wanted to help her cook. And she said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to cook the ham. And she said, well, you can't cook the ham because you don't know how to do it right. And he goes, well, how hard could it be? You take the ham, you put it in a pan, and you put it in the oven. So she goes, no. You have to cut off the ends. And he goes, why? And she said, because that's how everybody cooks ham. So he cut off the ends, and he put it in the oven, and he cooked the ham. And so dinner time comes, and everybody is there. The whole family is there, including her mother and her mother's mother, who was still alive. So the husband says to his wife's mother, I need to ask you a question. Why does my wife believe that you have to cook ham by cutting off the ends first? I don't understand that. Did you teach her that? And she goes, yes, I did. And he said, why? And she looks at her mother, the great-great-grandma, and she goes, well, she taught me that. And great-great-grandma goes, I didn't teach you that. You were just watching me. I didn't have a pan big enough for the ham, so I had to cut off the ends. And so that was the reason that great-great-grandmother cooked the ham that way. She cut off the ends of the ham to fit in the pan, but because her daughter saw that happen, she thought that's the way she told her daughter, and on it goes. And that is what so many of our beliefs are like. One person tells another person, tells another person, and pretty soon it's a fact. And that doesn't mean that it is. So it's kind of fun to sit down and make a laundry list of the things that you believe are true and see where they came from. And you'll find out that 9 times out of 10, it's just because somebody told you it was so.
That's very interesting as well. So how can we all implement abundance in our daily lives?
What you want to do, and that's what I was talking about, sitting and being quiet with yourself and just really taking silent time every day, hopefully in the same place and hopefully at the same time, so you get in the habit of it. And then you begin to establish this really open, intimate relationship with yourself. And this relationship really exists. You'll know when it's there, because you will know and you will care about what matters to you deep inside, and you will act on what matters to you deep inside. But to do this, you have to be brutally honest with yourself, and that's challenging, and it can be really, really scary. one of the things that I teach the most and I stress and I write about is authenticity, taking off our masks, taking off everything in our persona that makes us appear a certain way. Because until you do that, you can't know your higher self. And your higher self speaks through your heart, and your heart speaks the truth, and you will not hear it. You won't hear what's most true for you or be able to really be free until you allow yourself to reveal you to you so that you are being absolutely perfectly honest with yourself in all things. Then when you do that, when you hear your mind saying, well, you know, I don't have time or I don't have the energy or I don't know how to make this connection with myself, maybe I need to study with somebody first or whatever, you realize that your mind is trying to stop you, your ego personality is trying to stop you and keep you limited. Because higher self, your heart, the voice of your soul, knows that everything is available to you. It's like being a drop in an ocean and knowing that you have all the ocean to be in. And then when you allow yourself to operate from this higher self perspective, then you realize that all you have to do is flow with life. That there are boundless resources of understanding and wisdom and awareness and financial support and love from everybody. And you're basically taking yourself back to that time when you were a child, when you began to feel like you were limited. Because when children come into this world, they come fully aware of all I'm talking about right now, and it's literally programmed out of them by the way they're raised. And so you have this perspective of the innocent child, except that the naturalness of it brings up your own natural wisdom. That's why it's important to know whether your beliefs are real for you or not. Because when you really realize what beliefs, which are going to be very few, are really real for you, the whispers of your heart finally get to be heard over all the noisy distractions in your mind. So look for the quiet time. Look for your deepest aspirations. Look for the things that you really wanted to create. Almost everybody, and I know that this is true of everyone who's listening, has something that they've wanted to do, something that really speaks to them, something that makes them really happy, something that gives them the greatest joy that they haven't done because they feel they don't have the money, they don't have the time, something, anything that will stop you from doing. And I don't mean that you have to take a giant leap right at first, but baby steps will get you there. Just do something, action on inner creativity, listening to your heart and seeing what that connection with your higher self says. I did a workshop once with a bunch of people that I knew, so I basically knew what they were all about, which is sometimes a benefit and sometimes not. And I was teaching this, and in a different form, but basically this. And so I said, does anybody here in the group want to tell us something that they've always wanted to do that they haven't done? And this one lady, crying, who was a psychologist, and that was her profession, says, I want to work with the elephants. And she was crying. The pain of not working with the elephants was enough that she was crying. And I said, well, what stopped you? And she said, well, I ended up getting married, and I had this degree, and then I had children, and I can't work with the elephants. And I said, well, you don't have to go to Africa tomorrow to work with the elephants. There's a lot of different ways to work with elephants and to get into that world and just start it going so that when your children are raised, because they were half-raised already, then you and your husband can talk about taking some trips, and you can go and be with the elephants. And she just looks at me, and she goes, no, it's just too hard. And she wouldn't talk about it again. And I felt so sorry for her, because there's so many things that we can each do to just start taking steps in the direction of that which we really wish to accomplish. Not because we want to be famous or we want this huge recognition for our accomplishments, but because it feeds us. And that's what the abundance is about. And that's how we feel abundant, when we're really living from that which is feeding us, and we're feeding it back to everyone on Earth. That's why we have the feeling, because we brought that gift to the Earth to do that.
So you were saying, you were talking about taking baby steps. Where does patience play a role?
Where does patience play a role? Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I think we really need to be patient with ourselves, and we also need to be patient with all of those poor people around us who are watching us go through all of these changes. I saw this great picture today. There was a picture of a cat, and it was a joke somebody sent me, and it said, "If you don't like the changes I'm going through, I can rearrange your face," and he had his claws up. I thought, "Oh, this is great. That's wonderful."
I love that picture.
I know, it was super. We have to have patience with ourselves, because we're going to trip and fall. We're going to get scared. We're going to feel maybe not accepted by other people who have known us in a specific way. I know in my own life, when I've made some major changes in my life, I remember some people that I had known for a very long time telling me, "I cannot be around you when you're like this." Because I was rearranging everything. I was rearranging me, because it was time to do that. And they were used to the old me. And that's what they thought I should be. And, you know, once I got the arrangement done, of course, and they came back and said, "Oh, you scared me, but I'm so glad that you're done." And, you know, "I wish I could do that, but I can't," which is always the key part, you know, that the other person wants to do it, but they're afraid to. And so we really want to have patience and compassion for ourselves and realize, I like to call it falling in love with the beloved within. Because there's this piece of ourselves that is, as I say, God in form, that higher self of us, that is our expression of source consciousness. And it is so loving and it is so caring. And when we allow ourselves to really unite with that, all bets are off. I mean, you can do anything when you are in alignment with source, because everything comes from source. So having the patience to just say, okay, today this is the step I will take. And then tomorrow I'll take this step. There's another class I teach in manifesting your dreams, and that's what we do. We just say, okay, now you're going to make out a calendar for yourself based on all of these dreams we've been talking about for this whole workshop, and you're going to put down for yourself what you're going to do every day for a month to create more of this dream in your life. It's kind of like those vision boards that the Law of Attraction folks talk about, where you take a board and you put up on this board like a cork board, pictures of everything that talks to you about what you want to create. There's a story of a man I read who did that and then kind of got away from it, as we do. Kind of, you know, you do something for a while and then you go, oh, well, and then you just kind of put it away. And he had moved across the country. He bought a new house, moved his family. He's starting a new job. And they packed up all this stuff, and then they got to the other, you know, to the new house, and his children were helping him unpack, and one of the children said, "Oh, Daddy, what's in this box?" He goes, "Oh, that's the box from my desk. It's just got all my little treasury stuff from my desk. Go ahead and start unpacking it for me." So the kid starts pulling out all these things, and he pulls out the corkboard that has all these pictures on it, and he goes, "Daddy, look at it. It's our house." And the fellow had completely forgotten that he had put this picture up on the corkboard of what kind of a house he wanted, and he had just moved into it. But he forgot about it. So if you just take these little steps that speak to you, then you can find out later how far you've come, having patience in the process. And sometimes that's hard, especially if people are living in hard conditions or working a job they don't like or whatever the situation is. And yet, you know, if Rome wasn't built in a day kind of thing. Everything that's ever been created started with a first step and a second step and a third step. And that's all you're asking of yourself, is to do this much today and then this much tomorrow and watch the thing build itself.
And also talking about baby steps, where would you place faith and hope?
Well, for me, faith and hope don't have any place. And I know that that upsets some people. Mainly because of what they mean to me. To me, faith means that I don't know. And if I don't know something, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. I mean, either I'm going to know about it or I'm not going to know about it. And if I don't know about it, and if it's not real for me, then I don't care about it. So having faith, because faith is really believing in something that you don't see or that you really don't know. And that doesn't work for me. And hope doesn't work for me because hope is the opposite of despair. And just because we're living in a dual world, every time we use a word that creates a feeling, we create the opposite of that feeling at the same time. So when people say, well, I'm hoping this is true or I have hope, it means that they're afraid it won't happen. Versus, I know I am abundant. I have all the abundance I could possibly desire inside of me, and I am going to manifest it, and I am going to show it to the world. I am showing it in the words I speak this moment. Everything you're saying there is creating that. But when you're having faith in something you can't see, or whether you're hopeful, when you're hoping for something, then you're saying, I don't believe it's real, and I'm hoping it is. And the degree of fear or lack, and it's different for everybody, that surrounds that colors the energy of what you are expressing and creates more of the same thing for you. This is one of the biggest points that I teach in my MetaU metaphysics classes, is how to realize that not only are you an information stream sending information out into the omniverse, and by that I mean every dimension, every universe, everywhere, it is information back into you at the same time, but it can only send into you information that resonates with what you're sending out. Otherwise, it doesn't get in. So whatever you're sending out, and it's not just the words, it's the feeling behind the words, it's what you're receiving back.
So what would you say are the signs that we are living in abundance?
If you know that you feel safe, that's, I would say that's the bottom line. And that comes from, there's like signals, if you want to think of it that way, that come from your higher self. And you them as feelings inside of you, your emotions, your intuition, your instincts, whatever you want to call it. When you are really feeling abundant, feelings you have, all of the different aspects that you feel inside give you a sense of well-being. And you don't feel fragmented or need. It's really knowing what your heart wants. And because our heart is our cue card, the heart's the strongest electromagnetic organ in our body, 5,000 times stronger than the brain in electromagnetics. So when you are allowing your heart to, and you are really experiencing that very subtle voice, which means your mind has to be quiet, the sense of well-being that you have, it doesn't resonate with anything that a person would call a bad feeling or a fearful feeling. All you can feel is harmony and well-being. When you feel that in your body, you are in abundance. And you feel safe, you feel secure, and that doesn't mean that there are things out there that could make you feel unsafe. I'm not trying to say that. It's not a false sense of safety. It's a feeling of, I know myself. And the judgments I make, the opinions I have, the beliefs I have come from what I know. And my energy direction comes from my knowing. So then you really are able to experience the joy in your life. That's abundance. That's freedom. And it's what everybody wants.
Yes. And going through the videos that you've done, I found one that caught my attention because I thought that we could find a relation between what you were saying in that video and our abundance interview today. I don't remember the name of it. I guess it's called If You Know This, You Know Everything. And you say there this phrase, which I like very much. It says, you are a standing wave of information in a standing wave of information within a standing wave of information. If you understand this, you know everything. C- Could you please relate this to our today's topic, which is abundance?
Okay, sure. We are standing waves. Now, a standing wave is a wave that, if you want to picture, if you can picture dropping a pebble in water, and, you know, it goes out, poof, 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 the waves go out. Okay, picture that happening. Now, at the same time, the exact same time, picture waves coming in as those waves are going out. That's a standing wave. There's movement in it, but the movement is in both directions. And that's why I say we are information that is going out, and we are receiving information at the same time. So if you think of yourself as a standing wave, you're the pebble that just dropped into the pond, and your energy is going out, your information, because information and energy are the same thing. So your energy is going out, boom, 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 boom. And at the same time, we'll use the word universe here just to make it simple, but it's really everything, and the universe isn't everything, but we'll say the universe. The universe is also a standing wave, and it's doing the same thing. It's information with you, or your information with it. And the accept, okay, two of you can only exchange information that resonates. In other words, it has to be the same wavelength or harmonic of it. So that's why I'm saying when you send out information into the universe, what you're going to receive is whatever will resonate with that. Beep, 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 beep. So, for instance, here's a good example. If a woman says, I am so lonely, and I am so alone, and I am so insecure, and I am so scared, I really want a man in my life who is really secure and really happy, feel alone. So she has this picture in her mind of the knight armor that's going to come swooping in and fulfill this for her. While she's doing all that, the information that is being said to the universe is, I am insecure, I am scared, I am lonely. So the only kind of man that will ever come into her life is a man who is alone and afraid also. She can't attract the man who's going to be fully in himself, aware of himself, able to be abundant and wonderful like she has in her mind, because her energy stream would not allow him in. He would never find her. She will only find all the energy can come back into a standing wave is the same kind of energy that's going out. That's why I say once you get that and you understand that, you understand everything works, whether we're in this body or in an etheric body or on the moon or in a different galaxy. It all works the same. What goes out and comes in has got to be able to resonate. So we are responsible for what, and it's the feeling. Yes, the thought is behind it, but it's really the feeling that promotes the energy. And that's what gets the response from the universe.
Right. So what you're saying is that, for example, if we want a car, we have to feel like we really are about to have the car, right, with everything that implies. I mean, it has to do with the self-confidence that we will be able to buy the car and to maintain the car, and also the safety you were talking about, that nothing will happen to the car and that we will be able to have it quickly, and, you know, all these kind of thoughts that somehow walk hand in hand with our feeling of really wanting to have a car, yes?
Exactly. So you go shopping for the car to be, and, you know, I had a Jeep Wrangler that I've had for years, and when I was first shopping for it, I wasn't necessarily looking for a red Jeep Wrangler. I was looking for some car that had four-wheel drive. That's what I wanted. And when I walked onto a car lot, I just stopped my car, my old car, and stopped and walked onto the car lot, I saw this red Jeep. And I thought, oh, wow, I think I want a red Jeep. But I wasn't sure. So I started shopping around, and wherever I went, I'd ask them about red Jeeps because it was foremost in my mind, and they'd show me red Jeeps. I still hadn't made my decision. So I'm, meanwhile, traveling around the country doing these workshops, and I was in Boston, of all places, downtown in this very fancy restaurant with this lady. And I look out the window and what's parked in front of this very fancy restaurant but a red Jeep. And I said, "You're not going to believe this." And I tell her, and she didn't believe me. She said, "Would you just please buy that thing and stop seeing it everywhere?" And I said, "Turn around and look." I mean, who would have a red Jeep in the middle of Boston in the financial district? Nobody. But my energy was all red Jeep. And I did end up getting a red Jeep. But what we're sending out that brings that to us, and we need to act on it. That's why I'm saying taking baby steps of action. Like even though this woman who wanted to work with the elephants, if she started collecting elephant stamps, if she started buying elephant pictures, if she donated money to help the elephants, if she, you know, talked to someone in Africa who raises elephants, she doesn't have to go there. Just get on the elephant train. Start doing elephant things. Before you know it, you're going to be on a plane and you're going to be in Africa, and it's going to be as easy as pie to do it. All you're going to do is just start doing it. And the universe goes, oh, elephants over here, red car over here. Oh, wonderful man over there. Okay, and they just they arrive. They just produce themselves because that's what you're sending out. And the standing wave, it has to receive information back in that resonates with it, and so you get back exactly what you're sending out.
Mm-hmm. So what about the practical things that have to go together with our mental thoughts, you know, like, for example, if I want to buy a car, I have to start saving for it.
Right. Exactly. So start saving for it and know that that might not be the only way. There's no measure of degree in miracles because miracles are not supernatural. What we call miracles is actually the universe fulfilling its duty. And because we don't expect it to happen, we call it a miracle. So you start, you decide what kind of a car you want, you start shopping for it, you start putting money aside, and you leave yourself wide open for that car to appear however it's going to appear, whether someone gives you one, whether you suddenly win one as a prize, who knows what's going to happen. There's no way for us to know. All we know is that we can expect completely that it will, and it will. And all we
yes,
need to do is go through the most. I was looking for my house years ago. I knew what kind of a house I wanted. I just didn't know where it was. And so I got my friend who was a real estate agent to start showing me houses. And I was active in the process of looking for a house. And every house he took me to, no matter how good the deal was, wasn't the right house. And he was getting very frustrated with me. Because I said, "No, Joe, it's not the house. No, Joe, I know. No, Joe." And so finally, after this one interaction with these people who wanted to sell me their house so bad that they practically were willing to give it to me, he left me standing in front of his house, and he said, "Well, I just don't know what to do with you," and he left. And I got in my car to leave, and I drove in this little cul-de-sac circle behind this house that we had been in, and right behind this house was my house. And there was a for sale. It wasn't his real estate company, so he didn't take me there. And I went home and I called him and I said, "There's a house behind that house." And he goes, "Yeah, but I don't get full commission." I said, "I don't care. That's the house I want. That's my house." And I bought it. And the deal went through just like nothing, no problem whatsoever. All you have to do is start doing it.
Right. That's very interesting, you know, because this week I said, I know, I mean, this will sound funny. I saw a wallet I wanted to have, and I already have a wallet, but I saw this one, and I liked it, you know? And it's made out of leather, and I love leather, and it's yellow, and I just saw it and said, I like it. And actually, when I saw the wallet, I said, and actually, I do need a new one, because mine, I don't know, has like 5 years, and it's a little bit, you know, rocky, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, I really need to change it someday. And I saw it, and I was like, oh, and I really do need a change, you know. But, of course, I didn't have the money at the time. So I went back home, and I said, okay, I want the wallet. I deserve a new wallet, and it's very nice. And they've only left, there's only one left. So I said, okay, there will be something happening, something will happen, and I will find the money to do it. So I just sat down, and I wrote down, Dear Universe, I really want that wallet, you know?
Sure.
I know I can't afford it this week, but there's only one left, so I really want it. So please do something. I don't care what you do. But please send some extra cash this week so that I can, you know, pay my bills and pay what I owe and save a little for anything that happens unexpectedly and still be able to find my wallet. And my week, for me, ended yesterday, Saturday. So I said, okay, you know, and Monday went by, Tuesday went by, and I was pretty sure I would get that money. Friday got by and finished up with all the money I needed except the money for the wallet. And I kept staring at the money, you know, and I was like, what happened? What did I do wrong? I mean, everything was okay. Where's the money? And I was like, okay, the money will come somehow. And then, you know, Friday night came by, and I really didn't get the money. So I was like, well, maybe the universe didn't understand I meant this week. Maybe it understood it was next week. So that's okay. I know I will still get it next week. So I went dancing on Saturday. And when I was about to leave, you know, it was like, I don't know, maybe 2 a.m. or something. And I was about to leave, and I don't know why, I stayed like 15 minutes, extra minutes. And a friend of a friend came by, and he was talking to my friend. It was my friend's birthday. He was talking to him, and 15 minutes after that, I said, well, I'm leaving. And he said, well, I can take you home because I'm leaving too. And I said, okay, take me home. So we were going home, and he said, okay, tell me what you do, because I've seen you a couple of times, but I don't know what you do for a living, you know? So I told him I do this and I do that. And I'm making these essences, mineral essences, and I told him how I was making them, and you know, this work for emotional clearing and emotional And he just stopped the car, he looked at me, and he says, really, and do you sell them? And it was almost 3 a.m., and I said, yeah, I have a place where I sell them, you know. I'm still working on them, but, yes, they are usable, you know. So he said, great, I want some. And I said, you do. It's 3 a.m., Saturday night. You're kidding me. You really want them. And he said, yeah, I do. So we stopped by my house. I took them out. I sold them to him, and actually I found the money for the wallet.
Exactly.
Exactly. Expected way ever.
Exactly.
You know?
You never know. Exactly. And you don't. And you positive feeling of it's going to happen, however it's going to happen. I'm doing everything I can to let the universe know that I know it's going to happen, and it happens. And
yeah.
That goes for
everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, you really have to hold the feeling, even though you see that it's not, like, working at the first sight, it's still working. Somehow it's working.
Exactly. And even if it's not logical, and our mind gets it, because we start thinking, well, if people knew what I was doing, they'd think I was foolish, blah, 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 and we undermine ourselves instead of making sure that it doesn't make any difference what anybody thinks about anything. Just we're going to do what we are aspiring to do, and we're going to find out how the universe is going to fulfill it, never knowing
mm-hmm.
how that's going to happen.
And that's interesting, you know, because that's what you were telling us about. You know, it has to do with that safety feeling. Because when those things happen and you really, like, trust the universe that much, you really feel safe. Nothing can really happen to you, you know. You are really safe. At every
yeah.
moment.
Yeah. Yeah, you are absolutely safe. In every moment. Nothing to feel unsafe about. Everything is absolutely, and that's what's so much fun. I mean, you know, Earth can be challenging, and at the same time, it's like a great big playground. All we have to do is feel the safety of being held in a benevolent universe, and we're home free.
Right. And that safety feeling is what you saying that has to do with freedom, right? Because when you feel so safe, you really feel great doing anything that you want to do, because you are free to do so, because you are free of fear.
Exactly. Yeah, doing what feels natural to you. So everything in your body, your mind, your heart, your emotions, your physical body, it all feels good and connected, because you're doing what comes naturally to you as a God being.
Right. That's very important also. It's natural to you, yes. Mm-hmm. So we are in the last minutes of the show. Is there anything else you would like to tell us about abundance to close the show today?
Yes, I would like everyone who's listening to either tonight when the show is over or tomorrow at the latest to make a list of what you really aspire to. And it can be more than one thing. What you would like to accomplish, include everything, and then do one thing immediately after making your list. Just choose one thing. You can make it the easiest thing, but put everything down, from the hard things like, you know, whatever, to I'd like to have a cup of coffee. And just do one thing, and then the next day do another thing, and the next day do another thing. So make your list really full. And watch the inside when you, that speaks to your heart for whatever reason. It could be some lofty goal, and it can be if you want it to be. But see how you are desired. Your odds, and then watch that chain you feel to you because of that.
That sounds wonderful. That's great. I'm sure everybody will do it. Actually, I will do it myself as well.
Oh, it's fun. Oh, it's really fun.
I will definitely do that. Well, I want to thank you, Toni, for being with us today. It's really a pleasure and an honor to have you in our show. I really love the way you explain things, you know. You even put some sound on it. I really like that.
Good. Well, thank you very much. I love being on your show, and this was fun. This was great. Everybody be grateful for abundance. It's Thanksgiving in the United States, anyway. And be very grateful this week for every path. And watch how much more.
Yes, and happy Thanksgiving your way. Have a great, great night, honey. Thanks for sharing with us tonight.
Dear, we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Big hug. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.